Welcome to the Go Hack Something podcast, where education and technology meet. On today's episode, I'm going to talk about our Hack Sioux Falls project, how it went this summer, what the kids learned, parent feedback, as well as what worked well and what honestly just didn't work very well at all. I'm your host, Will Bushy, author of Wired for Coding, and my co-host, Ross Whitman. He's out on assignment again today, but we'll catch up with him in the coming weeks. Before we get into today's topic, I want to just give you a quick update on another project. We hosted a Cyber Patriot Camp last week. We had about 21 students. There were about six instructors and volunteers, as well as myself and Josh, my business partner here on the Code Bootcamp. This was the first time we had hosted a Cyber Patriot Camp. And if you're not familiar with that curriculum, it's developed by the Air Force, and it teaches kids about how to kind of secure or set up and configure a Windows machine and a Linux machine so that they are less vulnerable to being penetrated or hacked. And it teaches a lot about password policies, how you set things up so that your machines are a little bit more secure than just straight out of the box. So what we did is the first few days, Monday through Thursday, we covered a lot of the basics around kind of cybersecurity. We had some instructors and college students come in and talk about, you know, what's a good password? Why are these good passwords? How do you set up password policies? But then also, since these kids didn't have any real experience around administering a Windows or a Linux machine, we had to cover a lot of the kind of standard administration. What's a firewall? How do you set up a firewall? How do you put rules into a firewall? How do you make sure that somebody isn't going to penetrate that firewall and access it through something that you might have done by mistake? But also just things like, you know, is there an Apache web server running? Is it supposed to be running? How do you start it? How do you stop it? And just everything that what you'd consider kind of standard cyber policies would be. And the kids had a lot of fun. I wasn't sure just going into it, since this was the first time that we'd ever hosted this type of an event, how much kids would be interested in that level of networking and that level of security. But honestly, the kids, almost all of them came in with no experience at all. We did have a couple of students that had done a Cyber Patriot program through the Civil Air Patrol. So they had a little bit of experience, but the other students just literally had no experience at all. In fact, they'd never even booted a Linux machine before, didn't even know what it was, and they obviously didn't know a whole lot about Windows server security either, about policies and how do you create and set different policies for different users, but even just to know where to even get a listing of users on Windows. These are just things that you wouldn't normally come across unless you had a reason to. This was a free camp that we put on. We set pre-registration at 30, and we got about 30 kids to sign up, but between the time when they signed up and then when the camp actually started, we ended up with 21 students that came for the full week, which actually was a perfect number. Honestly, the rooms that we were in, 30 would have been a little bit of a tight fit, but you know, that 2021 ended up working out perfect. We didn't charge anything for this camp, and it was partially funded through CyberHer, a group that does a lot of promotions of cyber security and programming and networking, getting girls involved in technology. So it was a really good fit. So they helped us out a little bit with some funding so that we could purchase the curriculum, get some snacks for the kids, and things like that. The other sponsors included Code Bootcamp, which is my organization. And then we also partnered with the Sioux Falls School District, and we hosted it in one of their schools here in town. And then they had about 30 laptops that they allowed us to use throughout the week, which worked out perfect. And then the last sponsor was carsforsale.com. They allowed us to host our competition day at their facility on Friday and bought us pizza as well. So that worked out great to just have that many sponsors be involved and have them see what kids are able to do. On the competition day, the maximum points you could get were 100 within that 2-hour period. And again, these are going to be things like, there's some instructions like these users should not have administration privileges, and then you'd have to go in and remove their administration privileges. And every time you did something like that, you would get points, and not everything was worth the same number of points. But anyway, there was a maximum of 100 points and you had 2 hours. Well, we actually had one kid who got 80 points, or it might have been 81 points, which was just amazing because this kid had never done anything with securing a box before. And he did this both in Windows and in Linux. So just super impressed with what these kids were able to learn within a few days. And then we also were able to get some of the local press and media come out. I'll link a couple to those stories here in the show notes if you want to go check them out. But you can also get a little bit of the kids' perspective within those interviews. So on to today's topic, which is kind of a recap, if you will, or, how did the Hack Sioux Falls project go this summer? I kind of felt, since I've been talking a lot about it here throughout the last few months on the podcast, I would just give everybody a quick update so you had an idea of how it went. You never know. As I mentioned on the very first time I talked about it, it was really an experiment. Can we teach kids and are kids interested in learning about hardware and electronics? And I think in the end, the answer is yes, absolutely. They really had a great time. They just learned so, so much. And again, just a quick recap, this project was meant to be a 90-day challenge where we would invite kids to come out. We'd give them some loose guidelines to start with, a box of components, which would include a microcontroller, and we would just challenge them, hey, go build something cool with these supplies. Now, those supplies did include Arduino Uno as the primary microcontroller, and I was trying to push them towards using LEDs and LED strips. So we had some of those, the brand name commonly known as NeoPixels or the WS2812s. But these are little LEDs that you can change the color and intensity of each of the lights using Arduino code. So we can set them up and kind of run a marquee or just change the colors. Each of the kids got a strip. It either had 30 or 60 LEDs on it, depending on the style. And then they also had these little tiny 8 LED ones that were on a little piece of a PCB board. And those actually turned out to be quite popular. The kids really liked those little short ones, which I didn't think they would. I just kind of bought them because they were cheap. They were about $1 a piece. And I thought, well, that'd be kind of neat if they just had a small project that they wanted to put them on. But those actually got used more than the LED strips themselves. So those were the supplies. Each kid got a tote full of all of those. And then there were things like wires, little tiny breadboards at a couple different sizes for each of them, battery pack, and then just some other things like resistors and some actual LEDs. So that was the kit that they all got. And like I said, we just kind of challenged them to build something cool and interesting with those components. One of the things that happened right away is some of the kids had other things they wanted to build. And I was trying to reinforce and stress, you know, hey, well, that's fine, but, you know, let's try to link those LEDs in somewhere. And the other thing I was a little bit nervous about, since we had 20 kids, was was I going to be helping with 20 completely different projects? And so I also was pushing them to try to pair up in either a group of 2 or 3 or 4 kids. That way I didn't have 20 projects to be working on. It, you know, hopefully would have been more like 10 or 8 projects that we're working on. But some of the kids really just, you know, didn't really click with another kid, or just scheduling, they just couldn't quite figure out somebody that they want to partner with. So about half the kids ended up doing solo projects themselves, and then the other half ended up being in a pair or a couple other students. So that part didn't quite work out as well as I had hoped. But nonetheless, it did mean I had a whole bunch of individual projects that we're building and working on. So even though I was trying to push them into doing something with these LED strips, a lot of the kids just wanted to build something a little bit different. And I didn't want to say, no, you can't. You know, I wanted this to be a learning experience. I was really hoping they could kind of use some of their creativity to build something completely new that they'd maybe never even thought of. So I allowed the kids to get a little bit off track there on whether or not they included or built with the LED strips. Now, obviously, if we had 20 kids and they were all just doing something different with those same LED strips, I was very well suited to be able to help them out if they got into trouble. But as they started to veer off and kind of do their own little project, it became a lot more difficult. And that's where I started to run into some initial problems of just, you know, I had 20 kids all doing something a little bit different. And I may not have even known how to solve the problem that they were trying to solve or build the project that they were trying to build. But to try to counter that, I encouraged them to pair up and get into groups of either 2 or 3 or 4 kids. And that also was a little bit challenging. I was kind of hoping they would pair up so that instead of doing 20 projects, it would be, you know, 10 projects or 8 projects. Some of the kids just didn't really click with anybody in the group, or due to scheduling, they just didn't feel like that it was going to work out, and they just did some solo projects. So about half the kids did solo projects. The other half paired up, and worked on a project together. And in both cases, it worked out just fine in the end. It just meant a lot more work for me because I couldn't really leverage the same knowledge across multiple projects since every one of them was completely different. So let me talk a little bit about some of these projects. The LED strips serve very well to build what's known as an infinity mirror or something to do with an infinity mirror project. And an infinity mirror project is where you take an actual mirror in a picture frame on the back, and then you put an LED strip inside the frame. And then on the front, you have a piece of glass with some type of reflective material or filter. So it might be even just a window tint filter, or it might be tinted glass. And what happens is those LED lights, they kind of bounce back and forth between the mirror in the back and that tinted glass in the front. And it gets this interesting effect where it looks like the mirror goes back indefinitely. So it's real neat, and I figure kids might enjoy that. So I encourage them to build whatever they wanted around those infinity mirror projects. So we did have one girl that built an actual infinity mirror project. And it was just that. It was some LEDs sandwiched in between, was just some different colors. We had a group that built an infinity clock. So they had the same concept, except it was a round mirror. And the LEDs would go around like an analog clock would, with the hour, minutes, and seconds hand. And then as it went around, it would change colors as the two LEDs would overlap. But then that project turned out really neat. And they spent a lot of time outside of the Hacksaw Falls workshops in order to build that. So that turned out really cool. We had one of the girls build a LED picture mirror. She took a picture frame that had a nice little saying in it and wrapped the LEDs around it. And then I helped her create a rainbow effect where it was just cycling through some rainbow colors around the infinity mirror. It looked really neat in the end. We also had a couple of different projects with RC cars, both of them a cop car. And they had taken those small 8 LED strips and made them into car flashing lights and put them on their RC car so they could drive the car around with some police lights. And one just had the police lights, and then another group of a couple boys, they put in a Bluetooth module so they could turn the lights on and off using their phone. And then in addition to the lights, we put a couple little tiny speakers in there, and we could play like a siren sound. So you can have the sirens go on and off through Bluetooth as well. So that project actually turned out really neat. And then they also did some additional kind of hacking around the battery pack of that particular car so that they could get a little bit more power out of it. So that project turned out really neat as well. I had a couple boys take an old toy lightsaber, and they put the LED strip in the lightsaber part, and then the Arduino was in the handle part. So then they made a lightsaber that would just change colors, and then they had picked out exactly how they wanted the colors to rotate and change based on the time. And they really had a great time on that project. They got together outside of the Hacksaw Falls events quite a few times and were working on it, and they were just so proud of their project in the end. I had one of the boys build a polygraph machine using the Arduino and a couple LED wires that were then sensing the moisture in your hands. And it worked out pretty good. I mean, you could definitely tell that the meter was going up and down. I don't know how accurate it's going to be for actually telling whether or not somebody lied or not. But he had a good time building it. Built a nice little case for it, so it looked all professional as well. So it turned out really neat in the end. One of the other boys was building a Dyson fan. If you're not familiar with them, they've got a fan in the base, and then they've got a kind of a circle top on them. And so the blade is not exposed. The blade is internal, so you can't stick your hand in the blade. And then we set that up so that you could have a potentiometer or a knob on the front. And using the Arduino, we could control the speed of that fan. So we could go really slow or ramp it all the way up to really high. And we used the microcontroller to sense where the potentiometer is and then adjust the motor using a pulse width modulation. So that part turned out really cool as well. One of the other boys had some old motors from a Lego League, and we turned that into a little grabber hand, again, programmable through the Arduino. So there was a left, right, up, down button, or it was left, right, and then grabber open, grabber close. And then we had a little control board that you could use to move that around. And that was real creative as well, just something completely different that he came up with on his own. One of the boys built like a marquee sign that would list words using the LED strips. So if you cut them up, and I think he did five rows of LEDs or five strips of LEDs. And then if you wire them up, there's a library you can use that will scroll words across it. And that turned out really neat too. And then the last project was my project, which I built an infinity mirror as well with an LED strip on the inside. And then I put some ultrasonic sensors on all four of the sides so it could measure how far away an object was. And the idea was is that you'd have like a red or orange light that would bounce around, and it would show you whichever ultrasonic sensor had the object closest, or had an object closest to it, and then kind of show and kind of pulse as well. Thought it might turn out as kind of a little bit of a game type of a thing for a mirror. So it looked real neat in the end. The sensors, I mounted them towards the back, and I think they were just hitting the depth of my mirror, and they weren't super accurate when it was sitting on a table. But if you hung it up on a wall, it actually worked out really well. So I do have a video for each of those projects, which I'll link here in the show notes. So those were all the projects. Like I said, very diverse. Some of these I had no idea how we were going to pull them off. Had to go back and do some research, especially around the Bluetooth, since I wasn't anticipating using Bluetooth. We also had a number of projects that used motors, which, again, wasn't planning on using motors. So I had to figure out what libraries to use. And then we had bought some motor driver boards in order to support those a little bit easier. And then on the Dyson fan one, that was actually running off of I think it was a 12-volt or a 16-volt power supply. And so I had to use a MOSFET in order to control that. So again, wasn't really planning on kind of having that diverse of group and projects. But in the end, it worked out great. The kids had a really, really good time with it. So the idea was, is we'd build these projects, we would get together on the weekends, and then at the end, we'd have a little bit of a competition to kind of see, you know, hey, which projects did other people or other kids find the most interesting. So right now, almost all of the projects are wrapped up. They're supposed to be working on their, quote, build guide, which is instructions on how they built the project. And then I did shoot a 1 to 2 minute video of each of the projects that's been completed so far. So combination of the build guide and the video, we're going to run a little bit of a survey and competition to see which one can get the most amount of votes online, which we haven't done just yet. But we will hear it in the coming weeks. And if I think about it, I'll go back and put the final results here. Maybe we'll do another podcast on that as well. All right, so now let's talk about the lessons learned. Man, I did learn a lot, which is exactly why I did the project. As I mentioned on previous podcasts, sometimes I just do things that I find interesting and try to see where we can kind of turn these into an ongoing event. Just like our gaming boot camp, the first one we did, we had no idea if the kids were going to be able to build these games, but we learned a lot by doing that first one, and then we were able to pivot shift and kind of refine that to now where it's almost no effort at all for us to host those. We've got enough games. We understand what kids can comprehend and do in a 5-day camp, and we can just focus on having a good time and teaching these kids all those technical skills. So with this project, with the Hack Sioux Falls project, a few things. Originally, I was thinking 90 days, 3 months. This would be something where we'd run 2, 3, 4 workshops throughout the 90 days. We'd have 3 or 4 working sessions where the kids could come in and get help. They'd be on their way building these projects on their free time. Well, that turned out not to be the case. 90 days was just way too long. It was way too many days to try to coordinate. Combine that with I started it in April while school was taking place, and the goal was to end it in July, which would be about a month after school started. So I really overlapped the school district right in the middle of that 90 days, and that turned out to just be an absolute disaster. Turns out as soon as the summer started, nobody was available on the weekends, and it was just so hard to get together. And I didn't want to do things during the week just because in the summertime, kids have a lot of camps they're doing, but also while they were in school during the day didn't really work. So that part combined with it being too long, 90 days, but then also overlapping the school end date and the start of summer just didn't work out. I think next time I do this, I'll probably cut that time at least in half. I might do a 60-day or maybe even just do a 45-day type of a camp with a lot of time in there to get the projects completed and a lot of opportunities to get help, but just simply not stretching it out as far. We got off to a really good, strong start, but then towards the end, it was just really hard to get coordinated. So that was the first thing that we ran into. The second thing, and I mentioned this already, but I think it's worth stressing again, man, the summers are just impossible to try to coordinate events on the weekends. Now, we don't seem to have a hard time coordinating a week-long camp, a five-day camp during the day, during the work days. But anytime we tried to do something on the weekends, it seemed like it was so much more difficult, which I guess makes sense. I mean, the parents are still working during the summer. They're not off like the kids are. So it's not too inconvenient to drop the kids off at camp and then pick them up again at the end of the day. But it seems like on the weekends, everybody just kind of scatters or they've got events or projects that they're working on as well. So that was a tough one. I'm not exactly sure how we remedy that during the summer, and it might just be that we try to shift things to week evenings as opposed to weekends if we have to do things during the summer. But honestly, I like doing things in the summer. It's a good break. It's a good time for kids that have free time to work on their projects. So I don't want to just not do things during the summer because we don't want to do a five-day camp. So anyway, we need to shift that around a little bit. This one a little bit surprised me, but a lot of the kids had a difficult time trying to figure out what to build. And again, this was partly my fault because I left it a little bit more open-ended than I should have. But I did hear quite a bit of struggles from kids like, well, I don't know. And I did point them off to a number of Instructables groups around those NeoPixels, trying to spar some ideas. But just to tell a kid, hey, go look at this link and look at these projects and see which ones you like, just didn't work. I don't think the kids could just stay focused on what they wanted. And they also didn't have any concept. Is this a hard project or an easy project? So a little bit more about how I'm going to solve that here in a minute. But again, that was a little bit difficult for kids to do. But we also had a few kids that really liked that freedom. A number of them kind of changed their mind three or four times before they came up with the final project, but they really liked what they came up with. So there may need to be some type of a compromise in there moving forward. So the next thing is just 20 kids is too many to manage when we're doing so much hands-on new learning experience. Now, with our gaming boot camp, we usually limit that to 15, and even that at times can be a little bit too many. And I was kind of hoping that this would be a little bit more, you know, here's an instruction, follow along, and then we're just going to take small snippets at a time, but then the kids can then continue to explore and build at home. And while some of them did, a lot of them did not. And I'm not sure if we want to do 20 kids, what I think I would do is split them into two groups of 10 and then maybe have a little bit of overlap between them on some of the events. But 20 kids, I think, was just too much to handle in one large group. And the next one is the kids were really confused about the code. And again, not really a surprise at all. In fact, on day one, I even said, don't worry about the code. I'm going to provide you with all of the code that's necessary. And all you need to do is understand enough of the code to maybe tweak a number or tweak a color or maybe move a few things around. But myself and some of the other volunteers can write any complicated code that you need. But again, the kids wanted to do the code, but they were just overwhelmed and confused by it. And they even were to a point where they didn't want to tweak things, even though they clearly couldn't hurt anything because we could always revert their changes back. But I was a little bit surprised that they didn't want to jump in and dive a little bit deeper in the code itself. But that was one thing that I heard over and over and over again from the kids, like, I just don't know what the code's doing. I just don't know what the code is doing. So one of the things that I'd like to try, there's some other kind of modules that you can plug into the Arduino platform that give it a little bit more of a Scratch type of effect where you can drag and drop blocks in. And I'd like to try some of those and see if that might be a better way to program these. Keep in mind the Arduino is something that requires a C, C++ interface, and that's difficult for even kind of seasoned developers to do because not only are we dealing with code that's complicated, but we're also dealing with the microcontrollers, which a lot of developers are just not that comfortable with. So the last couple things is I did encourage the kids to work on their projects at home, but a lot of them didn't. They didn't spend a lot of time. They only were working on them during the kind of work time, work sessions that I had developed over the weekends, which is fine. But some of the projects were just more complicated than what you could get done during that work time. I don't know how we overcome that. I mean, part of it is just the fact they either were busy or, you know, their parents didn't know what to do. And so they just waited until I was available, which did mean that some of the kids need a lot more help than others. But then again, like I said, we had a lot of kids that got together on their own, built their projects largely on their own without a lot of assistance from me. And those kids really understood a little bit better on what they were doing. And then lastly, just the projects themselves. I mentioned earlier that everybody kind of went off and built something cool and creative, but there wasn't any real continuity between them, which meant I had to do a lot of research and trying to figure things out, which is totally fine. But it just meant that things took a lot longer to get done. And it meant we couldn't figure something out in one session. I may have to go home and spend a little bit of time research trying to figure out how we work this motherboard. And then a week would go by before we could get together again and get to the next step. So next time I run this project, what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a set number of projects. Like, here's five projects. You can pick one of them. But you have to pick one of those. You can't just pick anything that you want. Now, you can add to that project, but you can't take away from the project. So for example, again, using back to the LED strip, I would define five specific projects. You know, we can build an infinity mirror, or we can add LED lights to a car, or whatever, but you have to do one of those. Now, if you want to add LEDs to the car and then also add a speaker, that's fine. But I you have to follow at least the majority of the project. And by narrowing that down to, you know, whatever the number turns out to be, whether it's 3 or 5 or 10, I know how to build those projects, and then we won't really get stuck. So we'll be able to very quickly move on if any of the kids get stuck, rather than what happened this time, which is I had to go figure stuff out on my own and then get back together a little bit later. But anyway, it wasn't all bad. I mean, those were kind of the lessons learned, but honestly, there was a ton of great that came out of it that I had already mentioned. So a couple things too, just for kind of takeaways. The kids just had a fantastic time, but more importantly, I had a great time. I had a blast. I mean, I learned all kinds of things that before we started this project that I didn't know anything about. I had never used a motherboard before. I used a few MOSFETs on some projects, but never like we had used them here. I built a couple little circuits for kids on the LED clock, on the Infinity clock. They needed a way to set the time on that. And I thought a lot about that until I came up with a real interesting way to do it, which in the end turned out to be super simple, but I couldn't think of it at the time. So I just built a little tiny perf board with two buttons on it, an hour button and a minute button. And every time you pressed it, it would just increase it. So just like an alarm clock, you can set it just by pushing the button to adjust the hour and adjust the minute. So I built that for them, which worked out perfect. But again, beforehand, I hadn't really thought of how you would do that. So I learned a ton by doing this project, and the kids just did have a really, really good time. I heard great comments from all of the parents that I talked with. I got a lot of emails from parents afterwards saying, you know, hey, the kids just had a great time. Really appreciate everything. They've got a new understanding of how electronics work. And I also thought we built some real interesting projects, and I'm going to list a link here in the show notes to a YouTube channel where I have all of the videos posted. And there's a couple that are missing, but I'll get those up in the next couple of weeks if you want to check back as well. But you should go check them out. I mean, you'd just be impressed with the projects that the kids built, but then also their ability to show their project in the end and kind of walk through how they built the project. So that's all I had for today. Like I said, great project. I really appreciate all the kids that participated. If this is something that sounds interesting to you and you want to get on our list for the next one that we host, I probably won't do it until school starts again, just because of that one lesson that I learned about the summer. You can head over to hacksiofalls.com, and I've got just a real simple sign-up sheet there. Just ask you for your email address and your name and your kid's name and what grade they're going into. And we'll be sending an email out as soon as we get a specific date signed up. Now, as part of this event, I'm running it through my 501c3, and I already have some funds through a couple grant applications that I had submitted earlier in the year allocated towards this project. So it'll definitely happen. There's no doubt about it. And then I've already got a few kids that I know are interested in doing it a follow-up time, and then a couple kids that missed it. But anyway, if you're interested, hacksiofalls.com, I'll list those in the show notes as well. And I'll also list a link to that YouTube channel. So thanks for joining us today. If you have not left a review over on Apple, we'd love it if you'd go over and give it a nice big 5 stars. And as always, you can join the conversation on our Facebook page. Just search for Go Hack Something and you'll be able to find it that way. If you want to subscribe to the podcast, just head over to gohacksomething.com and you'll find all kinds of links to whatever podcast platform that you're using, or you can just search for Go Hack Something wherever you get your podcasts today. Thanks, and go hack something yourself.